You're listening to Expanding Horizons, the podcast of the Unitarian Church of South Australia, a home of progressive spirituality and free religious thought and action since 1854. The views expressed in these podcasts are those of the speaker and are not intended to represent the position of the church itself or of the worldwide Unitarian Universalist movement. For more information, visit unitariansa.org.au. Many ways we grow to become fully realized human beings. And it can be through our relationships, family relationships, social relationships, groups that we join, where we learn to work with others, where we realize that we can't always get our own way, where we feel and we learn that we're part of something larger as part of humanity.
Baha was a leader of the Baha'i community in the early 20th century, and the reading comes from his book, The Promulgation of Universal Peace. The people are submerged in the sea of materialism. Their sensibilities are attuned to material forces, their perceptions purely physical. The animal energies predominate in their activities. All their thoughts are directed to material things. Day and night they're devoted to the attractions of this world, schools and temples of learning. Knowledge of the sciences is based upon material observations only. There's no realization of divinity in their methods and conclusions. All have reference to the world of matter. They are not interested in attaining knowledge of the mysteries of God or understanding the secrets of the heavenly kingdom. What they acquire is based altogether upon visible and tangible evidence. Beyond this evidence, they are without susceptibilities. They have no idea of the world of inner significances and are utterly out of touch with God. Considering this an indication of reasonable attitude and philosophical judgment, whereof they are self-sufficient and proud.
Just a reminder that if you ever want to hear any of these reflections again, they are recorded and available on the podcast. If you go to the website, look at the Expanding Horizons podcast, you can listen to them over and over until they make sense. Now, today, two simple truths. Now, the funny thing is, I'm asked to provide topics of my reflections for the newsletter well in advance. And the trouble is, I don't always write down any details about what I'm going to talk about when I dream up the titles well in advance. So, on this occasion, I looked in my little book and I saw that the title for the week was Two Simple Truths. But I couldn't remember what the two simple truths were. Well, of course, these days there's a simple solution to such a problem. Just look it up on the internet. So I quickly discovered that many people, in fact thousands of them, had published what they thought of as simple truths on the internet. It was a helpful exercise, though. I picked up some tips. Apparently, there's an author, possibly even a real person, by the name of Johnny Rich. He wrote a novel a few years ago called The Human Script. Now, I don't read much fiction, so this tragic love story wasn't my kind of thing, but the quote was appealing, even undeniable. Quote, "The only simple truth is that there is nothing simple in this complex universe. Everything relates. Everything connects." I was also suitably cautioned by Fennel Hudson, a contemporary author who passionately promotes the natural countryside of the UK, especially Shropshire and Wales. He wrote, quote, "Every layer of complexity creates greater distance from life's simple truths." Thank you, Fennel. Nice one. But I was in search of two simple truths, not just one. So I kept looking. And then I came across a TikTok account. I'm not going to explain what that is. Just let's say it's on the internet. Which goes by the name of Vanessa and her iPhone. It's the name of the account. She wrote, or should I say, she posted, quote, "You have not yet experienced all of your happiest days. You still have all the time in the world to become who you want to be." Now, if I may say so, that's not a bad effort, because it gives people hope and it shows people that self-realization is possible. J'approuve. The next one that came up was from a personal transformation website run by a life coach. To help get my life back on track, he told me, one, life is better when we have people in our lives with whom we can really talk. And two, successful learning journeys, especially those that are long and complex, require good company. Now, I'm not sure if this person really has the hang of it, because it sounded a bit like one simple truth expressed in two different ways rather than two different truths. And it was probably hinting that you need a life coach. Anyway, I eventually remembered what I was going to talk about. I wanted to expand a little on what I see as the two fundamental lessons in the teaching of Yeshua, later known as Jesus in the English-speaking world. And in the last couple of weeks, I've talked a bit about his life from a historical point of view. You may well think, however, what is far, far more important is the legacy of his wisdom and love. As I've previously explained, I prefer to go back to the book attributed to Mark for New Testament quotes, being the earliest in the series. That is, if I'm not resorting to the collection attributed to Thomas or some other first century scripture. So let's go there right now. Chapter 12, verses 28 to 31. "One of the scribes who had approached, after listening to them debating, recognized that he had answered them well. He asked him, 'Which commandment is primary out of all of them?' And Jesus answered, 'First is this, Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. Second is this, You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There are no other commandments greater than these.'" Allow me to elaborate a little. The first commandment mentioned by Yeshua there is nothing less than the oldest and most commonly spoken prayer in the Jewish faith. Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. Some observations. First, Yeshua is giving a perfectly orthodox Jewish response. He is quoting Torah, that is, from the first books of the Jewish scriptures. Secondly, it was always a prayer which affirmed monotheism. Thirdly, the etymology or word foundation of Yisrael can literally be translated as the people of God. Fourthly, in the original Jewish scripture, it was not the name Adonai which appeared, but the actual name of God. So Adonai is translated as Lord. The name of God was not to be uttered aloud. It is commonly expressed from the Hebrew letters Yod, He, Vav, He as Yahweh, Yahweh, or in even more transmogrified form, Jehovah. In the Greek, Latin, and English expressions of Christianity, people have come to use the word Lord for God because of this factor that Jewish believers traditionally preferred such a replacement, like Adonai, to saying God's name out loud. As a title which expresses supremacy, one can understand why it was used as a replacement, but I think it's unfortunate that it immediately conjures up a parallel with the lords of this world, who often exploit others, issue the orders, and back them up with weapons. Now, getting back to the commandments declared to be the two most important by Yeshua, these spiritual instructions can be found in various forms throughout many of the world's religions. There's no debate about the instruction to love others. I'll come back to that. But the commandment to love God needs a little translation, I think, in the modern context. People from other faiths, people with modern sensibilities, even many Jewish folk today, would not think of giving primacy to a personalized tribal God. If, however, God is understood as something less particular, rather, let's say, as an expression of that ineffable quality of spirit which surpasses the material plane of existence, many people can accept there's benefit in pursuing affinity with the goodness, beauty, and truth of this spiritual nature, rather than the petty concerns of this world. Putting it in simple terms, it's a matter of fostering the spirit rather than constantly feeding one's animal passions. In the book attributed to Mark, chapter 7, verses 20 to 23, Yeshua spoke of the many harmful things that people do. And among these many unfortunate human pursuits is the one described in English as covetousness or avarice. The Greek word from which these English words have been translated is pleonexia. It's a good one to know because it conveys a sense of always grasping for more. And that's the problem of being addicted to more and more acquisition of the things that give us pleasant sensations. When is it ever enough? How can that give us a way of life that brings us peace? Now, an example of overemphasis on the material world. There's the man driving his big, sleek, new black Lexus SUV down South Road. He pulls into a petrol station for a pit stop. As he opens the door to get out, a truck driver, talking on his mobile phone, drives up too close and tears off the door. Everyone around turns to look as they heard the crash, followed by the man screaming, "Oh my God, my Lexus, my new Lexus, it's ruined, my Lexus," over and over again. And then one of the bystanders notices that in addition to tearing off the door, the truck also tore off the driver's arm. And when the bystander yells to the others, it ripped off his arm as well. The Lexus owner stops, looks down at the bloody stump that was once his arm in a moment of shock, and then starts yelling again, "Oh my God, my Rolex, my new Rolex." Thank you, Robin. I knew that you played beautifully. Until today, I hadn't heard you sing so beautifully as well. So thank you. Now, to go on, I wanted to give another example of the wrong priorities. I do like to quote from the collection of sayings attributed to Thomas. There are aphorisms, sayings, and in this case, a little story. Saying 64, Yeshua said, and sorry, I'm going to just jump out with a postmodern moment, several of the readings and titles today, they're not gender neutral. It's all in the masculine, but hey, this is the first century, so I hope you can make allowances. Okay, here we go. Yeshua said, "A man was receiving guests. When he prepared the dinner, he sent his servant to invite the guests. The servant went to the first and said, 'My master invites you.' And that person said, 'Well, some merchants owe me money and they're coming tonight. I have to go and give them instructions. Please excuse me from the dinner.' The servant went to another and said, 'My master invites you.' And he said to the servant, 'Well, I've just bought a house. I've been called away to look after it. I have no time.' The servant went to another and said, 'My master invites you.' And he said to the servant, 'Oh, my friend is to be married and I'm to arrange the banquet, so I can't come. Please excuse me from the dinner.' The servant went to another and said, 'My master invites you.' And he said to the servant, 'Look, I've just bought a new property. I'm going to collect the rent. I won't be able to come. Please excuse me.' The servant returned and said to his master, 'Those you invited to dinner have asked to be excused.' The master said to his servant, 'Go out into the streets and invite whoever you find for this dinner. The traders and merchants will not enter this place.'" Now, one might note in this story that it's not the activities of the people of commerce which are condemned as such. The error arises from the priority given by these commercial people to their activities. They have missed out on something special, not appreciating or accepting the life of the Spirit which is open to them. Often we ask ourselves what to do in these circumstances. It's a simple question, but it takes presence of mind and reflection to come up with the right answer. Often the challenge is to recognize the selfish voice of the ego, which will always come up with an answer to best preserve and enhance itself. We need to get beyond that noise to something deeper. The Indian mystic Krishnamurti said, "I don't mind what happens. That is the essence of inner freedom. It is a timeless spiritual truth. Release attachment to outcomes. Deep inside yourself, you'll feel good, no matter what." And there's a modern guru, currently or recently touring Australia, I believe, Eckhart Tolle. He put it this way, quote, "Stop looking outside for scraps of pleasure or fulfillment, for validation, security, or love. You have a treasure within that is infinitely greater than anything the world can offer." Now, in relation to the instruction to love our neighbours, that is, in fact, everyone we encounter, it's an instruction common to so many of the world's religions and ethical philosophies. It's often expressed in what is called the golden rule, to treat others the way you would wish to be treated, or to put it another way, to avoid doing to others what you would not wish done to yourself. Thich Nhat Hanh, the Vietnamese Buddhist monk who died just over a year ago, wrote in his book, The Miracle of Mindfulness, quote, "We talk about social service, service to the people, service to humanity, service to others who are far away, helping to bring peace to the world. But often we forget that it is the very people around us that we must live for first of all. If you cannot serve your wife or husband or child or parent, how are you going to serve society? If you cannot make your own children happy, how do you expect to be able to make anyone else happy? If all our friends in the peace movement or in service communities of any kind do not love and help each other, whom can we love and help?" Reflecting on the two simple truths I've spoken about today, maybe they're not so simple, I was reminded of a wonderful collection of Carl Jung's essays, compiled as Modern Man in Search of a Soul. This was in the 1940s, mind you. Jung was fascinated by the problem of the modern person who has found traditional religion lacking, but who still yearns for a framework of meaning which leads to a more peaceful, kinder world. The modern person has broken with the past tribal certainties of blood, nation, and religion. we are left to mould our own identities with almost too much choice and no inherently reliable guidance from parents, society, or, God forbid, the internet. Seeing the environmental causes of other people's bad behaviour makes it no easier to deal with the bad behaviour. One is left sceptical and susceptible to fear. For many, the cold cautions of the rational mind forbid deliverance by means of a leap into faith. What is to be done for the person who has been disappointed by both religion and science, when we all yearn for peace and reassurance that we are loved? We can try this, to find a quiet space to reflect so that an inner voice of guidance might be heard. Perhaps while listening to classical music, perhaps gazing at the sea or walking in the bush, perhaps in a state of meditation. I can trust, and I hope you can trust, that all will be well if we emphasize the spiritual over the material, if we choose to serve each other as much as serving ourselves. And I finish with a prayer, or, if you prefer, some words to contemplate. May we choose kindness and insight, no matter what the cost. May we constantly seek out opportunities to serve others, safe in the knowledge that our needs will be cared for one way or another. May we let go of fear and selfish thoughts. Above all, may we keep the flame of love burning in our hearts. A couple of weeks ago, I asked people here to write down what might be the final words of love or any message to those they care for. And there were many, many beautiful thoughts expressed. I thought the funniest one was, "We apologise for this break in transmission. See you later." But I treasured those expressions of love, and I wrote a poem. So I'll read that out to you now. Now is the time to say I love you. What a journey it has been through our travels in the world. There's so much that we have seen. Now is the time to say I love you. Life with you has been so blessed, being kind to everyone, you brought out my very best. Now is the time to say, I'm sorry if I gave you any grief, but there's always hope and love, such is my sincere belief. Now is no time to give advice, but I really have to say, be kind, be wise, enjoy the love which surrounds you every day. Now is the time to say, I love you. And one more thing that's true, I felt great joy in knowing that you really loved me too. And now, a song where we get to sing along. Take it away, Robin. Oh yeah, they're up there. Some of you will know this one. Would you like to stand? Let's all sing. We hope you've enjoyed this Expanding Horizons podcast. These podcasts are the intellectual property of the presenter. They can be used only with the express permission and appropriate acknowledgement of the presenter. This permission can be obtained by emailing admin@unitarianSA.org.au. Please feel free to leave a comment or visit us on Facebook or Twitter by searching SA Unitarians or by visiting our website at unitarianSA.org.au.